Okay, so just a quick note to tie back to last week for a second. I had mentioned in the Gemara about that someone who has a makom kavua, they're considered humble and like from Tamidim of Avraham, and my father, who listens to my vadim, mentioned he heard from someone, I don't remember who he told me, that in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, it says there are three midos that you're from Avraham, and if you're not from Avraham, you're from the Tamidim of Bilam. Now, we mentioned that when Avraham davened to Hashem by stone, what did he do the next morning when stone got destroyed? He went back to the same place to daven again. What did Bilam do each time he went to try to curse Klal Yisrael? He said, it's not me, it's the place. Let's go somewhere else to see, over there my tefillah will work. So that's the idea of Makom Kavua again, that Avraham needed the Makom. Bilam felt, I'm so great, we can do it somewhere else instead. So I just wanted to tie back. He mentioned that to me, so I wanted to tie that back. This week we're going to get into the idea of what we call unanswered tefillos, or what appears to be unanswered tefillos, and try to put out some ideas of what might be going on. The pasuk in Devarim tells us, "Kimi gai gadol ashelo elokim krovim elov kashem elokeinu b'chol kreinu elov," that for which is a great nation that has a Hashem who's so close to them as Hashem, our Hashem, that whenever we call to him, he's there. Tefillah, as the pasuk indicates, is the definition of the close bond that we have between Hashem and ourselves. Tefillah is the key to all our individual wants and needs in life, and everything that Klal Yisrael yearns to achieve as a nation. Yet, with all that at our fingertips, people are suffering. They daven, tear-drenched davening, heartfelt tefillos, and yet the suffering continues. Well, the tefillos seem not to be answered. And the question is why does it appear that Hashem's not answering our tefillos? And this is really a question that a complete answer, will not be known until the days of Mashiach. But there are ideas that can help with one's emunah to not make them despondent, that tefillah really is just something we're doing, but that it really doesn't do anything. So the first suggestion, I think it was in 1997, the Palestinians had kidnapped an Israeli soldier named Nachshon Waxman. And I was in Eretz Yisrael at the time, and I remember that Friday night that the army raided the location that they were holding him. Every shul, every Beis Medrash was packed with people saying Tehillim, and unfortunately the raid went bad and he was killed during the raid. During the Shiva, one of the secular reporters came in and figured he would stir up a little bit about how you see how Kadosh Baruch was not involved. And he said to the father, he says, where was Hashem exactly? We all know everyone was there, praying for him. Where was he? And the father replied and he said, when I was growing up, I asked Hashem that I should grow up healthy. Hashem said, yes. I got older. I asked him, for good yeshivos. He said, yes. I got, dating. I said, can I find me a good wife? Hashem said, sure. Family, no problem. Parnasa. Again, a yes, children, everything was, Hashem answered yes. I said, I turned to my father again and said, can you save my Nachshon for me? And this time he said no. He says, a father's allowed to say no to his children. And now that takes real strength, that takes real emunah to believe that. But if we many times can look for the Yad Hashem in a situation, we can be okay with such an idea. When my mother, Aleh Hashem, was Nifteres, when we got up as a family from Shiva, we sat down and wrote up a list of a year and a half of things that took place that was to us was Hashem saying, it's okay, I'm here with you. Whatever the outcome will be. But just, I'm here. And, you'll be okay no matter what. And I know on my end, it certainly made a difference. Why, it happens, I don't know. But, if I know Hashem's involved, it certainly makes it easier to accept. Secondly, the Gemara in Yevamos tells us, in the famous Gemara, Amar Reb Yitzchak, Mnei Mahoya Vaseinu Akurim, why were the Avos barren? And the Gemara answers, Mnei Shekosh Baruch Hu Mis'avot L'Tfilosin Shal Tzadikim, because the Kosh Baruch Hu desires the tefillah of the Tzadikim. And Rav Dessler explains, he says, he's bothered, he says, I don't understand. L'chor HaKoshi, he says, Ha'avos V'himos HaKadoshim, they were so full of tzar, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu has so much mercy. Why did he do this? Just so they'll daven. And furthermore, he says, without this, they wouldn't have davened. The Avos are the ones who created tefillah. So what does that mean, that Hashem made them, you know, barren in order, you know, that they'll daven? And he goes on to explain that this was all done really with Rachmanis, and that Hashem was even to the Avos showing that this a deeper level. And yes, the Avos will daven, and they'll daven tefilos that halavai we can even reach, you know, by ourselves. But there's something within them that could go a little deeper, a little more. And Hashem was showing them that you could reach this, and without you being barren, you may have never gotten to such a level. And Reb Tzadok HaKohen in Resisei Loyla says basically the same idea. He says that one reaches the essence of tefillah really through pain and suffering and loss. And through that, a person then reaches into his heart through that sensation and davens. And he says that that loss is Hashem is giving it to us in order to awaken us and arouse us to be able to daven properly. So we see from this that, you know, even the Avos who understood what tefillah was, they still needed something to spur them to a deeper and greater level. And as the Avudraham teaches, as according to the level of Tekavana put in, is how Hashem will respond. So therefore, many times we sometimes think that, you know, we're davening, we're putting everything into it, but Hashem knows us and wired us and realizes, you know, there's more we can put into this davening. And sometimes when our tefillos seem unanswered, it's Hashem saying, it's because I need you to dig a little deeper. I need you to, you know, there's more to reach for these tefillos to really accomplish. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus compares this. He says, this is similar to someone, it's domel achofer bar, someone who's digging a pit. Shechofer chafira, and you're digging deeper and deeper. And he says, that's what we're doing with the tefillah. We're digging into our hearts, you know, to create a better tefillah, you know, a closer tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in that way, being able to be zochah to his, you know, brachos that he wants to give us. And what misfortune, difficulty, whether it's health, parnasa, children, family, ruchnias, these are things that are all part of life that Hashem gives us, but that we need to take them and realize that it's in Hashem and his loving, trying to spur us to daven a little deeper. A third possibility is that what we think many times is an essential need in our life, and we daven with real kavana and real sincerity, might go unanswered because it can change what the tafkid of the person. It will conflict with why the person's here in this world. And Rav Dessler gives an example. He says you take a Rebbe who's got a large family, and he's struggling making a parnas and chinuch. And, you know, every month, you know, getting the bills paid, and he davens, and he's pouring out his heart. And yet, you know, the financial situation doesn't really change. And he brings Tosfos and Shabbos, which Tosfos says that if one, it's possible that one can change mazel through a great merit, which the Ritva and Ran explain. Tosfos is talking about tefillah. And Tosfos says, however, at the end, he says there are some times, there are times that it cannot be changed. And Rav Dessler explains, he says, what Tosfos means is when this will conflict with why the tafik is here. And he says, and many times we don't realize, like he's in this example that he brings, he says the tafik might be to serve Hashem through a struggle of parnasa. And if I gave him the parnasa, then that's not what he's here in this world for. That's not what he's going to grow with, and therefore, sometimes the tefillos are not answered just because it conflicts with why we're really here. A fourth possibility is that the tools that we're using are defective tools. The pasuk tells us l'yachal devar kol yotzim piv yaseh, that we should not profane his word, and whatever comes from his mouth he shall do. And Dayan Dunner explains this pasuk based on the chidah. He says that if one is careful with his words, then what comes from his mouth, meaning his tefillos, he, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shall do. And the care of a person's speech is an essential factor in our tefillos being granted. And it's not a matter of just, you know, okay, I did an Aveira, now I'm getting punished, but it's that the mechanism that we're using is tainted. The example that I saw brought was, imagine a doctor, and it could be the best doctor in the world, but if he's doing an operation with contaminated equipment, that patient's not going to survive too well. And that's really what it is. And the Chafetz Chaim, and I brought really the whole piece, but the Chafetz Chaim tells us that, he says, Atenevaris osam eschusam isha shomer espivel shono mil david var masurim. He says that, you know, he's going to go through explaining the schus that one has through someone who watches his mouth and doesn't speak dvar masurim, and he talks about how it's our kli umnis that's given to Klal Yisrael, and he goes through different examples, and he says this, by dibur, he says that we have to be careful because the dibur creates malachim, and every malach that we create goes before Kodesh Baruch Hu to, you know, plead for us. And he says, imagine if you take the carpenter and he builds a piece of furniture and his saw is blunt, you can be able to tell that even a master carpenter can't put together a proper table or a proper chair. And he says the same thing. If one speaks Lashon Hara, if he ridicules people, he causes pain to other people, and then, Acher kach yedaber b'piv divrei Torah tefila, eize koach yesh behem lahamshech al Torah tefila hi kedush elyona. How is it possible? Like, what's going to come from that? Since the mouth has been tainted, you know, what do we expect that from our tefilos that are now coming out? And the Gemara in Tainus tells us that there was a story, says Shav Maisa Rebbe Eliezer, there was a time that there was no rain. And Rebbe Eliezer went Lefnei Ateva and he said 24 brachos, nothing happened. They went to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva got up. V'amar avinu malkeinu, ein lanu melech ela ata. Another avinu malkeinu, and then suddenly the rain came down. And people started to talk. You know, people get, obviously Rabbi Eliezer's not so great. Rabbi Akiva's really so great. So the Gemara says that a baskel came out immediately and said, lo b'mnei shezeh gadol mizeh. It's not that one's greater than the other. El shezeh maver el midosav, v'zeh einu maver el midosav. One, you know, is maver on his midos, and the other one is not. And Rashi in Rosh Hashanah just tells us, what does it mean that someone's forgiving that he's maver al midosav? He says, she'enu medakdeg limdod mida limitzayer moso. Even someone who was mitzayer him. He says, you know what? It's okay. I don't have to get him back. And the Gemara is showing us, now obviously this is the level of Rabbi Akiva, but something to strive for, that even with someone, not that we started the incident, but we were attacked, and maybe we're right in the response, but if we use our mouths even improperly in such a response, that our tefilos, you know, may not be accepted. So it shows how far and how careful one has to be when it comes to the tool that he's using. And just as damaging as Lashon Hara and all these other things are those that have the habit of talking during Chazaras HaShatz, as the Mishnah Berurah tells us, that one who speaks during Chazaras HaShatz, Gadol Avonu Minso, that the Avera is too great to carry, which is the harshest language the Halacha uses, Shulchan Aruch uses for any Avera, more than Yom Kippur, more than Chil Shabbos. And Rav Matasho Salman explains, he says, it's not that the Avera is greater than those. He says, obviously, one who, you know, eats on Yom Kippur, one who's Mechal Shabbos, those are worse. He says, but it's the message that a person's sending, which is what got this language. And what's happening is you're coming into Hashem, you're talking to Him, you're pleading with Him, and then your actions show and demonstrate, what do you really feel about davening? Obviously, it doesn't mean that much, because, you know, right now I'm busy schmoozing, I have something more important to deal with my friend. And that action is why the Shulchan Aruch, he says, brings such a strong lashon, because, again, you're showing that my mouth, which I'm trying to use for tefillah, is not really what I'm really trying to do, but I'm really here, you know, to socialize and catch up with my friends. A fifth possibility is that there are many times in life that we feel we need something, and that therefore it's going to be good for us. However, Hashem disagrees, seeing the bigger picture. He says, you know what, you don't really need it. It really won't be so good for you. And as Gene asked a few weeks ago, you know, you'll have someone who can study for a big exam, and he's davening to Hashem to help him, and yet he fails. And the answer, again, might be to that, because, you know what, it wasn't a good moment. It was not in his best interest, perhaps, to pass it. And sometimes we think that when we don't get that promotion, we don't get the raise, that, you know, it's what's Hashem doing to me? But in the long run, it's really better. When I was let go by Valley Torah and was looking for, other jobs, so someone in the community at the time was considering hiring me, and whatever it was, gave me some excuse that at the end it wasn't going to work out. And I was pretty distraught because I was still relatively new, didn't really, know anyone, really wasn't sure where I was going to turn. And a few months later, I got my current job, which, looking back between the two possible positions, knowing the two bosses, I'm in a much better situation than I would have been taking that first job. So the 2020 hindsight now makes everything look nice, but Hashem at all along knew what would really be better with me. And I got, and I'm just going to go through it. It's not tefillah necessarily, but it's a similar idea. It's called a conversation with Hashem. And it's a person who, at the end of a stressful day, is trying to complain about why, in his eyes, it didn't work out. And he says, me, in a tizzy, Hashem, can I ask you something? Hashem says, sure. He says, promise you won't get mad. Hashem says, I promise. He says, frustratedly, he says, why'd you let so much stuff happen to me today? Hashem says, what do you mean? He says, well, I woke up late. Hashem says, yeah. He says, my car took forever to start. He says, okay. He says, me starting to growl. He goes, at lunch, they made my sandwich wrong. I had to wait. Hashem says, hmm. He says, on the way home, my phone went dead just as I picked up a call. Hashem says, okay. He's now getting a little louder. He says, and to top it off, I got home. I wanted to soak my feet in my foot massager and relax. And it didn't work. Nothing went right today. Why'd you do that? Hashem says, well, let me see. He says, the Malach HaMavis was at your bed this morning. And I sent another Malach to battle him to save your life. And I let you sleep through all that. So, feeling a little humbled, he says, oh, okay. He says, I didn't let your car start because there was a drunk driver on the route that you take, and he might have hit you had you been on time. Now he's feeling a little ashamed. Hashem says, well, and the first person who made your sandwich today was sick, and I didn't want you to catch what he had because I knew you couldn't afford to miss any work. He's feeling embarrassed. Hashem says, and your phone went dead because the person who was calling was going to give you a false report about something, and I didn't want you to get into all that. Now he's feeling a little, says, I see Hashem. He says, and that foot massager, there was a short in it, and it would have thrown your entire house into darkness, and I didn't want you to be in the dark tonight. He says, Hashem, I'm really sorry. Hashem says, just don't be sorry. Just learn to trust me in all things, the good and bad. He says, I will trust you, Hashem. He says, and don't doubt that my plan for your day is always better than your plan. He says, I won't, Hashem, and let me just tell you, Hashem, thank you for everything today. And Hashem responds, you're welcome, child. It's just another day being your father, and I love looking after my children. And that's really many times what life is. We daven for things, and we really, sometimes even come back with a taino. Why didn't I get this? But you know what? Hashem knows what really is for our best. And once sometimes we understand it, that 2020 hindsight, we say, Hashem, you really knew better than I knew anyway. And we have to realize that even things that seem bad are really gamzul letova, which is why even, someone at a levaya makes the bracha of Dina Emes, because in reality, it's really all good. And we don't always know or get to see those results. But sometimes, by focusing and understanding that Hashem is perfect, that we can comprehend then that there will be good in no matter what the outcome of all our problems are. And there are times that we might get the connection, but times just reaching out and just saying, you know what, Hashem, you obviously know better, and I'll be okay no matter what. A sixth possibility, the Stipler tells us that a sincere tefillah makes its mark in Shemayim. However, it's sometimes what we asked for, and sometimes it's for something in the future. When Rav Schneur Cutler was deathly sick, some of the Talmidim went to the Stipler and they said, they're very discouraged. There are thousands and thousands of tefillahs going on, and Rav Schneur keeps getting worse. He's weakening. They're discouraged in tefillah. And the Stipler, and this is what he said. He said, there's no such thing as a sincere tefillah that goes unanswered. He says, if there's a heartfelt tefillah and it's addressed to Hashem, it's for sure answered. There's no other possibility. He says, however, we just can't say for sure when the tefillah will be answered. But we can rest assured that every tefillah will be answered somehow, someday. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus tells us, he says, tefillah is similar, he says, Kasha Yerida Geshem Vashelig Manashmaim. It's similar to the rain and the snow. What happens to rain and snow? It rains, it snows, and then to us, it disappears. He says, that's what tefillah is. We think that the tefillah sunk out of sight, it accomplished nothing, but in fact, it's saturating the Shemayims, just as the rain saturates the earth and brings forth its brachos. And the brachos that come from Shemayim are waiting for also the right season for when they will produce, and only Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that. And a mashal that's brought is, you know, chas v'shalom, someone has a loved one that's in a serious car accident, nobody knows about it, he's, you know, hanging on to life, you know, barely. And Rav Pinkus says that what Hashem does is he reaches into that bag of tefillos that the person has stored up there, and he pulls out, and this tefillah could have happened that day, could have been a year ago, could have been hundreds of years ago. But he pulls out a tefillah and plugs it into the situation, and that person can, you know, can be saved. You know, and how many times, you know, especially as parents, we watch something happen to our children, and we go, oh my gosh, and the child bounces up like nothing. And you know what? It's one of those tefillos that we had said somewhere else that Hashem plugged in that saved the child. And the Baal Shem Tov tells us that in the Gemara in Brachos, he says, you know, we know that the Gemara tells us that, you know, Krum Zulos Levnei Adam, and they darshan that this is Dvarim She'om De Beruah She'olam Uvnei Adam Azalzal Behem. These are things that are in the pinnacles of the world, and people disrespect, and Rashi says that that is tefillah. And the Baal Shem Tov explains that people disrespect or neglect tefillah because it appears to be ineffective. But in reality, it's in the pinnacle of Shemayim. The tefillos are up there, and they're doing things. But we don't always get what we are asking or what we understand to be the answer. But there's always an effect, he says. And we don't know who was saved, who was healed due to our tefillos. We don't know whether the tefillah bore fruit right away or was put away for years or centuries later. But there's no tefillah, he says, that goes to waste. And there was a story Rabbi Fran brings that back in the 1950s, there were three kibbutzniks that showed up in Bnei Brak in shorts and sandals. And they said, you know, teach us, we want to learn. And well before the Baal Tshuva movement and the people of Bnei Brak didn't know how to respond to them, what are they supposed to do? So they went to the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish said, yeah, learn with them, teach them. But he says, I'll explain to you what's going on. He says, in the previous generation, when the young people were running from the Torah, their parents ran to the shuls, and they opened the Aron Kodesh, and they davened tefillos that Hashem should bring their children back. But because the children went off willingly and deliberately, the parents' tefillos could not have an effect on them. But Hashem took those tefillos and said, you know what? Your children I can't save, but your grandchildren I'll bring back. And he says, and you're going to see, they're going to come back in thousands. And if we watch what's going on, you see what the Baal Tshuva movement, you know, has become. So hopefully, you know, if we take some of these different ideas and some of these different suggestions that why sometimes we're davening and it seems that Hashem's not perhaps listening or responding, that really there's something going on, whether it's a no, as a parent can say no, whether it's being used in other places, whether it's there to spur us deeper. Whatever it might be, the tefillos are there, and something is happening, you know, without tefillos. And hopefully, you know, we won't then become discouraged when something doesn't take place like we hope it will. We'll close with a story, and then with the homework. So there were these two chavrusas that learned for many years, and they had finished nearly a third of Shas, and they used their lunch as when they would learn. And they had these bachrim that would bring lunch to them in the in the shul. And one day, one of the chavrusas said, you know what, he's not really feeling well. You know, he doesn't know if he'll make it. And his chavrusa had noticed, thinking back, that, you know what, he seemed a little more fatigued over the last few weeks. And he encouraged him to go for some tests. And unfortunately, the tests came back. He had cancer. And the prognosis was not great. And he battled through it, and he kept trying to show up to learn, but, you know, it was becoming very difficult. And his chavrusa, one time during lunch, when the, you know, was there in shul, he locked the beis medrash, and when the messenger, you know, the boy, the bacher, came with the lunch, found the shul locked, thought it was a little interesting, it's never locked at this time. So he decided he was going to climb in, you know, find another way in. Maybe that's why we leave the back door open, I don't know. But, you know, he climbs in, and he saw a sight that he would never forget. He saw the chavrusa standing by the aron, which is something that they used to do back in the previous generations. The aron open, and he was crying and talking to the Torah. And he was listening to him, and he heard him saying, you know, the hadrons on the different mesechtas that they had learned. And he says, you know, Bava Metzia, don't you remember how we worked through this sugya? And Bava Kama, do you remember how many times he chazed you? And he was going through each masechta pleading that they should go, you know, and go for his chavrusa and plead to Hashem. And certainly as happened a few months later, the chavrusa things changed and he had a refuah. But we see again that the power of a tefillah, one who really puts himself, you know, in real emotion and real, you know, sincere feelings, what we can accomplish with a tefillah. The homework, so a few weeks back we took on, and hopefully we're working on that, trying not to talk to anyone prior to coming to one tefillah during that day. So I'd like to try to add now doing that for a second tefillah. So, you know, again, then when you come to shul, trying to, whether it's finding a safer to keep yourself busy so that no one comes over to you, or even if someone comes, you know, politely telling him that you don't want to get into conversation now, but trying not to get involved so that, you know, you can be focused going into the tefillah.